This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matt Wells. In this week's programme, Indigenous communities hold the key to making sustainable agriculture a reality, one award-winning green business owner in South Africa tells us. And hunger's rising sharply across East Africa as rains fail yet again, made worse by the March of the Fall armyworm pest. But first, horrific and deadly acts of violence against babies and children have been reported in the Central African Republic, CAR, where fighting has forced tens of thousands of people from their homes in recent months. The warning follows months of renewed conflict involving armed groups in the mineral-rich state, which has seen decades of instability after declaring independence in 1960. Daniel Johnson has more.
Although the exact number of victims from the resurgent violence is unclear, UN Children's Fund UNICEF said on Tuesday that an increasing series of atrocities had been committed against youngsters, including murder, abductions and rape. Thousands more have been recruited by armed groups, the UN agency added. Christophe Boudiarac is a spokesperson for UNICEF. He described how girls as young as nine had been raped by armed groups in eastern Bria and how five children, one of them a toddler, had been killed in Bangassou in the southeast as they tried to flee to neighbouring Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC.
Children are increasingly targeted in the Central African Republic. The true number of atrocities suffered by children, in addition to these two tragic examples, the true number over the past 3 months in the Central African Republic is almost certain to be much higher than officially reported figures because humanitarian access in many areas has been severely limited by insecurity.
UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, has also raised the alarm at developments in CAR. It reports that the violence has forced more than 180,000 people to flee to DRC in recent months, 60,000 since May alone. One of the places where they've sought shelter is Ndou in northern DRC, where UNHCR spokesperson William Spindler described the situation as chaotic and dangerous.
The majority are women and children. They're arriving in very difficult conditions in communities that are overstretched and that are themselves very, very poor and of difficult access. They are stretched to the limit, these communities, having to cope with this sudden influx. And assistance is taking a long time to arrive because of the difficulties in the logistics and so on.
Despite access problems caused by insecurity and mud-filled roads, UNHCR has sent aid for 20,000 refugees. It's expected to arrive in coming days. The dire conditions on the ground are matched by an equally dire funding situation. According to UNHCR, of the $55 million it needs this year, less than $3 million has been banked. This despite the fact that CAR ranks last on the UN Human Development Index, with 4 in 10 children suffering from chronic malnutrition and a quarter of girls marrying before they're 15. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Winning one of the prestigious UN-backed SEED Awards, which highlights some of the most entrepreneurial and sustainable small businesses in Africa, is tremendously empowering. That's according to Jeff Green, founder of the South African firm Greenacre Living, which promotes micro-enterprises focused on biodiversity and indigenous foods. He was speaking at UN headquarters, where he was taking part in the UN High-Level Political Forum on the Sustainable Development Goals as a 2016 SEED Award winner. Mr. Green told me that Africa's indigenous communities were key to advancing the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, and this year 15 African businesses were SEED Award winners. He described the impact it had had on his business last year.
It's been fantastic because I think that the recognition is very important to many farmers that I work with, and we have a few thousand farmers now, for them to see that their effort is being recognised through these kinds of vehicles is tremendously empowering.
And do you feel that the UN sort of system at large and these SDGs, these Sustainable Development Goals, are also an important way to sort of get behind small businesses like yours?
Certainly, and particularly on the SDGs, we recognise that the work we're doing ticks many, many of the boxes in multiple of the SDGs. And food, SDG 2, is obviously a big one, but there are many others that impact on the environment and chemical use and those kinds of things.
Apart from recognition,
yes,
what else, in kind of concrete terms, do you think the UN and, you know, those who back these 17 SDGs, what else do they need to be doing to encourage a kind of good growth that companies like yours and these other small businesses represent?
We have very measurable outcomes. I'll give you an example. We established a one-acre farm at an HIV AIDS hospice where we've managed to feed in excess of 150 people a day off just 1 acre, their vegetable requirements. So This is a significant amount of food. So if you extend this out on a 1 hectare farm, which is 2 and a bit hectares, 2.5 hectares, we're able to feed something like 350 people. So, and to set up these farms, you need something that equates to the annual minimum wage of a worker here in the United States. And we can
just
set
one,
up
just one,
just one person for a year. That wage can set up a farm that can feed 350 people a day.
And you hope for that in terms of the continent overall, Africa, this kind of sustainable business investment is a practical way forward?
I believe that the secret is that we need to pay attention to the indigenous peoples of Africa. They still have that connect to Mother Earth, to the planet, and they know exactly what is wrong and what needs to be fixed. And just through natural indigenous practices, celebrating that indigenous knowledge, celebrating that innate capacity for them to develop community-appropriate businesses. So we're talking about short-link supply chains, hanging on to the seeds, hanging on to that culinary biodiversity, the genomes of both fauna and flora, the livestock as well. Many, many thousands of small-scale farmers can make a significant change.
Hunger is rising sharply across the East Africa region following the third season in a row without sufficient rain to grow crops. That's according to a new alert from the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, which says that crops are scorched, pastures dry and thousands of livestock dead. Rural families in the affected areas need urgent and effective support, said FAO, and the plight's being made worse by an invasive pest called the fall armyworm, which is eating its way across the continent. Sandra Ferrari asked Alessandro Costantino, an FAO economist based in Rome, for more details.
The areas affected by the current drought are most of Somalia, most of Kenya, northern Tanzania, southeastern Ethiopia, southwestern and northern Uganda. Most of these areas are experiencing their third consecutive failed rainy season.
And how many people are estimated to be affected by food insecurity right now?
Mostly due to the current drought, about 16 million people are estimated to be food insecure in this country. And food insecurity actually increased by one-third in the last 6 months. In Somalia alone, which is the worst affected country, the food insecure caseload actually tripled in the last 12 months.
There has been concern about localized fall armyworm infestations. Which areas are affected by this and to what extent?
The armyworm infestation has actually affected most of the cropping areas in these 5 countries. It's too early to ascertain and to precisely estimate the impact on current harvests because harvests are currently being gathered. But for sure, this impact will compound the impact of the drought on crop yields.
What other issues are raising concern?
This drought had a very serious impact on all the dimensions of food insecurity, namely food availability and access. Food availability declined due to reduced harvests and livestock losses and decline in the availability of livestock products, including milk and meat. Regarding food access, it is constrained by soaring food prices and by widespread drought-related displacements.
How is FAO assisting those in need?
FAO is supporting crisis hit farmers and herders with cash forward programs, with distribution of seed, feed and water, with livestock treatment and vaccination, and with infrastructure rehabilitation. For its operations in Ethiopia, Kenya and Somalia, FAO has appealed for about $200 million. So far, about 50% of the requirement has been funded, and so continued donor support is absolutely vital.
Alessandro Costantino talking there to Sandra Ferrari. And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org, and we're also on Facebook and on Twitter under UN Radio. And if you're looking for a good podcast to follow, check out our podcast, The Lid Is On. You can find it on our webpage. Well, thanks for joining us today. I'm Matt Wells.